for the teacher.
Talk shoes. Recorded live.
Amen. We thank God for another night of class tonight, teaching School of the Prophets tonight. Amen. And we're going to pick up tonight. If you look at your syllabus, you'll see that tonight we are beginning another subject where we're still in prophetic development too. And tonight we're going to be covering who am I and talking about the fivefold ministry. Just a quick note before we begin that we have, you know, I want you to make sure you check your schedules because we know that next week we will not have class next week. Because it is Thanksgiving next Thursday, so we won't have class next Thursday. So after this week, the next class that we will come together for will be the 29th, and we'll come in on week six. That will be our 6 weeks, and then we'll go into December, Lord willing, and our class will be December 6th, and then the following class will be December 13th. Then after that, we'll take a break for the Christmas holiday from December 20th through January 3rd, which we actually will be coming back for January, you know, on January 3rd to begin week 9, okay? December 13th will be the end of the first 8 weeks of class, and then we're going to take that break, and we'll come back January 3rd. We're going to continue and begin with the second 8 weeks of class, and then class will go from the 3rd of January to the 21st of February, and then at that point, when we finish class, I'm going to be, you know, finishing, you know, looking through whatever the last of your assignments are that have been given, and then we'll be also doing sending out your certificates for class or whatever. And those of you that have inquired, and we have been discussing issues about ordination, your ordination will also come with your certificates when we send those out. So if you have any questions about any of those things, then, you know, make sure you give me, you know, send me an email or something, and then we can, you know, proceed from there. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Tonight, we are going into Who Am I and talking about the fivefold ministry. And let me see. All right. Now, this is the issue that we need to really talk about, and I think I kind of harp on it, you know, every now and again about this who am I issue, because I think that especially, you know, of all of the fivefold gifts that the prophet has, the most problems with identity crises.
Amen.
You know, more so than some of the other gifts. The evangelist is pretty stable. You know, the evangelist knows, hey, my job is to go in and evangelize, and you know, not to say that they would never have to deal with those issues, but I do know that a lot of times that it's more than likely it's those who have a calling to the prophetic, and that gift of the prophetic, you know, office is resting on them, that they deal with this, you know, okay, who am I? And we have to deal with this Elijah crisis thing, you know. I found that myself, you know, in early ministry after I realized that, you know, the Lord was calling me into the prophetic, and I guess it's more of a revelation of the call, because I knew what God had said to me, but then that realization wasn't there. It was like, you know, to me, that's just something far, far away, you know, that's far off, and one of these days I'm going to be that, you know. And then as the things that the Lord was dealing with me about, as he began to become more real, and the call of God became more real, it seemed like I had more emotional turmoil. I had more mental, turmoil. It didn't mean that I didn't want to pray. Of course, you know, I still wanted to pray and stay in his presence. But it was always a question about identity. There was always a question about, you know, why am I this way? You know, and because of the fact that, you know, this particular calling has it comes with so many difficulties, you know, and people questioning you, then you seem to take those questions home with you and start asking yourself those very same questions. So we want to make sure that we set a ground and a foundation for who we are. Whether God has called us to be apostles or prophets, you know, any of the fivefold gifts, we still need to know who we are. Because before we can walk in the anointing that God has placed upon our life, we got to settle it in our hearts and settle it, you know, in ourselves and have an understanding of who we are and who we are not. And that right there is going to be, you know, the basis of you having peace while you are doing what God has called you to do. And if we don't come to terms with this, and if we don't, you know, be productive, you know, as it relates to our own self, because you can pour into people's lives and they can be productive, but what about your own self? Mm-hmm. You know, it makes no sense for us to do what Elijah did, and that is to go up on the mount, kill all those prophets of Baal, and then go run and hide in a cave because now, you know, we're facing persecution because of what we've dealt with and what we've preached, and now we forget who we are because of what somebody else says. That's just not the will of God. That's just not the will of God. And so we want to deal with that. And so, you know, you won't be as productive as you can be if you don't deal with this identity issue. Amen. And so we gotta make sure that we you know, come to terms with that and settle it within yourself so that when God begins to speak to you or if God is speaking to you now and you find that there's always opposition to what you're saying and then it makes you start questioning yourself, well, Lord, did you really tell me to say that? And, you know, God, do you really want me to do this? You know, you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Okay, it has nothing to do with you feeling like you're grand and wonderful. It has nothing to do with, you know, you trying to make yourself into something that you are not. But it has everything to do with you being able to accomplish the will of God and do it with godly confidence. I'm not talking about being confident in yourself. I'm talking about being confident in God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I want to begin with talking about the stages of our walk with God. Because God seems to take us through stages. You know, there are stages in our development naturally, and I've learned that there are also stages in our development spiritually. And as we're going into this, one of the things that I want to deal with is the fact that, if you know, we as women and men of God, you have to know that you're not Superman and you are not Wonder Woman. Okay? And this has, you know, and again, we're still dealing with this issue of identity as we talk about our stages, okay? You have to understand, okay, you're not Jesus, you are his servant, okay? It is Jesus that we are following, okay? And so it is his plan that we are following. It's not our own plan. It's not our own vision, you know? And you might say, well, why are you saying that, you know, We know that already. I'm saying that to you because believe me, if you have never, you know, have never experienced it and you had not experienced it yet, keep living and keep preaching Jesus. Because I'm telling you, along the line, somewhere, people are going to, you know, you'll find yourself in conflict with folks who want you to prove who you are. You'll find yourself, you know, with people wanting you to convince them of who you say you are in Jesus. And what you have to understand is that as long as you are following Christ and as long as you are doing what he tells you to do, then you don't have to prove to man anything. Okay? And when we get comfortable in that, you know what I'm saying, and learn how to just know that it is all about Christ. It has nothing to do with me, and I don't care whether people receive me or not. You know, not that you don't, you know, that you don't love people. You know, am I telling you to have a nonchalant attitude? But I'm trying to emphasize the fact that you can't allow people to cause you to walk in double-mindedness, because that's what happens when folks start questioning you, and then you start questioning yourself. because it moves you as it relates to your prayer life. It moves you as it relates to you studying the word. It moves you as it relates to you even ministering to the brethren, you know, because that identity issue. Who am I? You know who you are when you feel the presence of God upon you, but then after that anointing lifts up off of you, can you still handle being you? Okay, and that's something that we have to ask ourselves. You know, if nobody's there cheering us on, do you still love who God created you to be? Okay, so hallelujah. Talking about our stages with in our walk with God. All right, the first stage is our fellowship. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. I know I say every Thursday that, you know, we're not going to be on too long, but I think I'm going to stop saying that. So, but we're going to be, when we're done, we're going to get off the line tonight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what we're going to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 9. Okay. And the first stage in our walk with God is when the Lord brings us into fellowship with him. Verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have been called into this fellowship, amen, by the Lord through Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that where you are, you're here because of Christ. You are here because God called you here. Amen. And the first stage of our walk here in the book, I put it, is called fellowship. But another thing, amen, that we would like to call that is your inception. Okay. This is the act or the process or the instance of beginning. This is where you have your beginnings in God. This is where you get saved. Okay. It could be this is where you, you know, after you get saved, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you begin your walk with God. This is the beginning, the origins of your walk with God. Okay. This place of fellowship. Okay. This is where you understand the difference between good and evil. Okay, this is where you learn what is holy, what is not holy, what is God, what is not God. Okay, and this is where the Lord begins to reveal himself to us as our Savior. Now, thank the Lord Jesus. I don't think that anybody on this line is still in the stage of just fellowship. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, that's just our beginning. I also want to look at John 15:4. Excuse me. Look at John 15:4. Excuse me. Okay. Which says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. This is the place. We're talking about fellowship. This is the place where we learn that everything about our existence comes from us being in the presence of God. Understanding that it's about Christ and not about us, this is our place of beginnings. Amen. And from there, we move on to the next stage of our walk with God, which is relationship. After we come from fellowship, God moves us into relationship. We understand that we have a relationship with God, okay, which also I want to be able to call this conception, okay? This is the process of becoming, okay? You get pregnant at this point. God begins to impart into you and to seed into your spirit the things that he is going to do in you. It is at this point that, you know, you begin to experience spiritual growth. This is the place of training. This is the place of impartation. This is the place of revelation. God begins to reveal himself to you. This is the place where we begin to receive our development. Amen. You learn to hear God's voice. And are able to know God, you know, the difference between, you know, this is God speaking to me or this is how I feel, this is my emotions. Amen. This is a place where, you know, some years after you have been saved and the Lord has, you know, spoken things to you, and you begin to find yourself pregnant with a vision to do the things that he has, you know, saved you for. Okay, the things that he has brought you into the body of Christ to do. Amen. All right. This is a place where you begin to understand your function and your capacity and the processes that God is taking you through. This is a place where you understand, okay, God has called me to this place, and so now I must prepare myself for the place that he has called me to. Okay. This is a place where you begin to embrace the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. And I also want to look, take a minute real quick, and let's look at Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12. And it's important that we go through these stages because we need to understand that everybody is in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And even as we begin to deal with others in the body of Christ, we need to be able to look at them and listen to, you know, what they're saying, see how they are behaving, and be able to discern what stage they are in spiritually, so that we don't try to throw them steak when they can't handle steak. Amen. Trying to feed them on the same diet that God has given us, not remembering that we grew to the place to be able to, you know, to be able to take this in, to be able to eat the meat that we're eating now.
Yes.
So we have to remember that everybody is in a different place in their walk with God. Okay. Proverbs 14 and 12. And it says, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. This is, in this place of relationship, this is where we learn the difference. You know, this is where we're learning how to really, really trust the voice of God. All right? And learning how to come up out of ourselves. Learning how to get up out of our flesh. And learning how to trust God. And you know, we find ourselves in this place when God is purging us of our old ways. And really trying to help us to receive his will and to walk into his will and giving up our own way. There's a death to self that takes place as you begin to walk in relationship with God, as you begin to understand the fullness of the relationship that you have with him through Jesus Christ. You begin to shed off all of this old stuff. Amen. And as we shed off that old stuff, we begin to experience that spiritual growth. We begin to receive revelation. And we begin to develop in our spirit man. And as God develops us and as we grow, we move to a place of sonship. Sonship only speaks of maturity. You are a son all along. But there's a level of sonship where in this progression, we're talking about not just being a child in the spirit. We're talking about being a full-grown son. A son walks in authority. A son understands his authority. A son understands God's ways. Amen? And it is in this place as sons of God, amen, that we know what God has called us to do. We're not walking around trying to say, God, you know, what is it that you want me to do today, Jesus? Because a son gets up in the morning and seeks his father and aligns himself with the father's will so that when he walks out the door, he's walking in the will of the father. Amen. And I want to look at Romans 8 and 14. Romans 8 and 14. Excuse me. Okay, this place where we're talking about sonship, this is a place of perception. Now, I didn't say perspective, because perspective and perception are two different things. Okay, perspective is how you see a thing. Okay, but perception, amen, comes from observing. Perception comes, amen, from the inside. It comes from you having a spiritual awareness and an understanding, amen, or discernment. Okay, this is a place of discernment. This is a place where you're not trying to figure out the will of God. You know what his will is for you. Amen. The Bible tells us that we should be able to know or to discern what the will of the Lord is. That's a place of sonship. Jesus did not walk around saying, Father, what do you want me to do? Because he was a son. He was walking in the will of the Father everywhere he went and everything he did. He was walking in the will of his Father, because a son knows the will of his Father. A son knows the mind of his Father. A son knows what pleases his Father. So Jesus didn't have to go ask Father what pleases you. He knew what pleased the Father, because he had already come through relationship with him. He already was in relationship with him, so he knew what made God pleased with him. Amen. Let's look at Romans 8:14. 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right? And so that's what we're talking about being a son. It's a place of being led by the Spirit. Amen. How many times have we made decisions and we weren't led of God, and we had to deal with the turmoil that our own decisions brought to us?
Amen.
Because we weren't walking in sonship. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to, and what we have to learn how to do, and I know some things for us is, you know, it's new because we got our own way of thinking. We got our own way of doing things. But I want you to understand there is a place of knowing in the Spirit. And I said to somebody earlier today, and I say this to anybody that have the Holy Ghost, anybody that has, if you call to be a prophet or whatever your calling is, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you got a Holy Spirit compass on the inside. You are never lost. You know what I'm saying? You don't need OnStar. You got the Holy Ghost. There's a place of knowing. You don't have to figure out where God wants you to go. If you just get in his presence, he's going to lead you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So this is the place we got to get to. We got to get to this place of perception, being able to perceive the will of God, being able to look around you and pick up in the Spirit, what is God doing? What is God saying? What is going on in the spirit realm? What is going on with people? Okay? Perception takes place through the senses. And there's a spiritual sense that we have in the Holy Ghost. And so we have to know, amen, that in this place of maturity, this is not, you're not struggling to hear God. You're not struggling to try to figure out what's going on with God, because you are a son. You know, and I'm not telling you that there's not going to be times where we're going to be like, okay, God, what this about? Amen? But what I am saying, this is a place of flow. Amen? We want to be able to flow in the Spirit.
Yes.
This is a place where we are bearing fruit. Amen. We want to be able to bear fruit and not be, you know, struggling to till the ground and ain't nothing coming up. Hallelujah. We want to be able to speak the word of God, and that fruit would be born from the words that we speak. That lives are changed because of the words that we speak. And so this is about understanding who we are. We're sons of God. If we are preparing, amen, and trying to align ourselves with what God has called us to do, then we got to begin, amen, to embrace this thing that he's called us to do. Stop fighting against it. Stop fighting with folks. Amen. Stop worrying about what people think or what they're not going to think. Believe me. They're going to say something when you're doing right, and if you're in the midst of a fight and they're trying to tell you, oh, no, you don't need to do this, and why are you doing this, and why are you doing that? And if you decide to sit down because people have driven you into a corner, they're still going to talk about you. They're still going to have something to say. Hallelujah. You got to know who you are. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus was not suffering from identity crisis. He was not suffering from identity crisis. Amen. He was not trying to walk around and say, am I the son of God?
Wow.
Everybody else was asking him that. But he wasn't asking himself that.
Help us, Lord.
Lord Jesus. You know, so everybody else can ask you who you think you are all they want. What are you saying?
Amen.
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 What are you saying? Are you agreeing with what other people are saying about you? Are you confused about who you are? Do you not believe that God has called you to do this? Do you not believe that He has, amen, that He's called you from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, to do what He's called you to do? Have you not been able to discern that folks just sometimes just want to give you a hard time? You don't have to worry about having no demonic encounters and seeing actual demons, because folks, they just do fine. They, you know what I'm saying? They avail themselves and make themselves available to the enemy, you know, on any given moment. And if we can't deal with that, we don't need to be trying to talk about, we're going to be seen in the spirit, and I can see demons. And you don't need to see no demons. You need to be able to see yourself as God has called you.
Amen.
And understanding that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are mature. They are living in a place of flowing and knowing God. They are living in a place of bearing fruit.
Amen.
Now, if you got fruit trees in your yard, and somebody come up in your yard trying to tear down your fruit tree, that's your personal property. You're going to say something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, don't let nobody come to try to tear your fruit down. Don't let nobody, you know, come to try to take what God has given you. You know what I'm saying? You gave birth to that stuff through prayer and fasting and seeking the word. And so you got to learn how to hold on to the word of God. And when God speaks a thing, no matter if people oppose you, no matter if the world opposes you, if family members say, oh, here he go, he crazy. You know, oh, he just trying to be deep. He just trying to be deep. Oh, brother, the Lord always speaking to her.
Amen.
Come on now. If you're a prophet, he better be speaking to you. Thank you, Jesus. If he's called you, then you want him to speak to you.
Yes.
Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you want him to speak to you. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Stop letting what people think lead you. Let the Spirit of God lead you.
Amen.
Don't be led by people's opinions. Don't be led by the way people act toward you. Don't let people move you and switch your messages and, you know, have you doing what they want you to do because you are afraid of receiving, you know, dealing with that rejection. Know who you are. Don't let what other people are doing or even your circumstances and the test that you may be experiencing, don't let that stuff throw you into an identity crisis. You got to know who you are. This is what God has destined for every one of us as believers, and that is that we be mature sons. And the only way that we're going to become mature sons is by these gifts operating in the body. And if we keep trying to shut each other down, and we keep trying to outshine one another and competing, then who's going to become a son because we keep cutting each other down? there's no place for others to grow if we are not doing our part. Amen. So we want to deal with, amen, we want to experience inception, conception, and perception. We want to be able to go through those stages. Amen. Amen. And we want people to be able to pick it up in the spirit when we walk in the room. You know what? This ain't no ordinary apostle. Look, I don't know what these other people, they call themselves apostle, but I think this right here, this is a real apostle.
Amen.
These other folks around here call themselves evangelists and teachers and pastors and prophets, and I don't see them doing other things you're doing. I like that I see Christ in you. A son, at some point, when our children grow up and we look at them, and other folks look at them and say, oh my goodness, that looks, you look like your mom. You look like your dad. Isn't it funny that when a baby is born, you can't tell who the baby look like? But as they begin to grow, they start looking more and more like their parents. So it should be the same way with us in the spirit. The more we grow, the more we should look like our daddy Jesus.
Amen.
The more we grow, we should look more like our Heavenly Father. And if we call ourselves growing and we not looking like Jesus, something wrong with that growth. You growing into something, but I think it's a monster. That ain't Jesus. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So as sonship, okay, we're not seeking God for direction. Jesus only sought the Lord. He only sought the Father for direction one time, and that was in the garden. Because he was under great duress. And if you are still saying, okay, God, what you want me to do, God? Okay, God, where you want me to go, God? That's speaking to you about your stage where you are.
Good.
Because in this place of sonship, Jesus stopped one time to ask the Father, what do you want me to do? Can you let this cup pass from me? And then in the end, he got himself together and said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you're not seeking God and going on no fast for no direction. You know, you shouldn't have to do that as often when you're walking in maturity.
Amen.
Because there's a perceiving you can look and discern. The Spirit of God on the inside of you should be able to speak to you and say, go left, go right. If we're seeking God for direction, it's because we're not hearing. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Okay, this is the will of God for us. But for some reason, because we can't get past these external things, you know, these things that we see with our eyes, because we can't get past that, we tend to, you know, focus on what we see and forget that on the inside of us, God has put his very voice, his very spirit that wants to speak to us and direct us beyond what we see with our eyes. But our emotions control us. You know, Lord, ain't no food in the cabinet. Help me, Jesus. What am I going to do? Amen. I'm telling you, excuse me, we went through some things, and it was so funny. The apostle just, you know, when we started class, he's talking about something about with the finances or whatever. You know, and we had gone through some issues with some finances, and I'm telling you, I just began to not allow that thing to move me. I said, God, you already know what we have need of before we ask. And I've been hearing testimonies of folks who have been catching all kind of devilish hell because ever since this class started, everybody been going through, I don't know what it is. I've been hearing all kind of stories, cars breaking down. I mean, all kind of stuff. amen. So, even myself, I began to experience some things, and I began to just speak the word of God. And I said, Lord, I'm standing on your word, and I don't care about all this other stuff that's going on around me. This is temporal stuff.
Amen.
I'm going to keep my focus on what you call me to do. And, Lord, as I'm doing what you call me to do, you got to make the way. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus didn't freak out when they said it's time to pay taxes, and he was like, well, I ain't got no job. What I'm going to do? He sent Peter down, go down there to the water and go get that money out that fish's mouth.
Yeah.
Where is our speaking the word?
Thank you, Jesus.
And just listening to the Spirit of God on the inside to give us direction.
Amen.
And Apostle, you said it right. We can't be panicking and then think we're going to encourage somebody else. Because if we tripping, who we going to encourage?
Amen.
How in the world we going to give them direction and we won't even follow direction? We got direction in us and won't follow it.
Wow.
Sons follow the direction of their father. You trust your father. You follow his instructions because you know that no matter what, you can rely on his instructions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible says, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And that's not just talking about bread you eat. I mean, you don't have to starve spiritually.
Amen.
You shouldn't have to beg for nothing. And I'm not even saying living a life of excess. Oh, this is the scripture to use, so y'all, if you need money. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, we focus on things because we're not paying attention to the fact that we are sons and God has put his spirit in us. And everything we need, all we need to do is rely on him, and he's going to direct us in the direction to where our provision is.
Amen.
But because we're not listening to him, we feel like we got to go get our hustle on. Hello. Try to make something happen.
Yeah.
To get what we need.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, and this is hilarious. I said, God, what in the world? We went from having to try to figure out how we was going to do some stuff, and then the Lord just opened the door, and I told my husband earlier this year about a letter we got in the mail. I'm still talking about being a son because I was speaking the word of God, amen, over every circumstance, over every situation. And I was telling my husband about this lawsuit that these other people did a class action suit against one of the companies that we did business with. We were in New Jersey. Now, mind you, I live in North Carolina, and I've been in North Carolina 6 years. So 6 years ago. Somebody did something and found out they did some dirty business. The people found out that we had did business with the same company, and they found out all these people's customers and started a class action suit.
Hmm.
So they just paid us for being in a class action suit that I didn't even have to go to court for. Somebody else was in court fighting for me, and I didn't even know them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? But now, before that happened, okay, before that happened, we was like, Lord, how you going to do it? How you going to do it? How you going to fix it? How you going to work it out? Lord, it's up to you to do. And that's the place we got to live in. A son knows his father.
Amen.
Jesus did not, and we got to look in the scripture and see his pattern and follow his pattern. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are doing the will of God, if you are walking in God and following his precepts and doing what he called you to do and walking where he told you to walk, it's his responsibility to make sure everything comes together.
That's right. Right.
Even as it relates to dealing with people. You know, and Paul talked about it. He said, pray for us. And we be delivered from unreasonable men.
Hmm.
It's in the word. So even in that, you got, look, you can stand on the word of God. If you're dealing with unreasonable people, you, man of God, woman of God, you got the Spirit of God in you, and as a son, you can speak the word of God. I ain't talking about sending no curses out on people now. The Bible said, bless and curse not. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about dealing with things God's way. Sonship, that's where we want to live. Come on now. I don't want to stay in fellowship my whole life. I'm still taking baby steps. That ain't the will of God. Amen. I want to be able to be in a place where I'm flowing. Amen. I want to be in a place, amen, of knowing God and bearing fruit. And my fruit remaining. Amen. John 15 talks about that. And we got to know that is the will of God. And my fruit bearing should be progressive. So that when I begin to bear fruit, guess what? Inside that fruit is seed. And that seed that's inside that fruit is going to bear more fruit.
Amen.
So you ain't got to trip about how stuff is going to come together. Just do what God called you to do. Amen. Sonship is a place where we use God, our God-given authority. Amen. And God gives us favor.
Amen.
You don't have to try to get no mojo going like they do in the world. You ain't got to work no mojo.
Mojo?
You know, mojo. You know how they say, you know, you get your stuff going, you know, by working your stuff so you can try to get what you need.
Oh.
I was flowing.
Sorry.
Praise God. Amen.
I'm sorry.
Hallelujah. That's all right. That's all right.
The only
Hallelujah. Hey, but you were trying to catch up too, Sister Liddell. That's all right. Amen. But I want to talk about this. I want to go back and look at fellowship real quick. And knowing that even as we looked at three stages in our walk with God, fellowship is in three stages. Amen. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with one another, and then there's also fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Okay, and that fellowship, we know what fellowship is with one another. That is us spending time together. That is us getting to know one another, developing relationship, amen? And then as we go on and fellowship with God, it has everything to do with that term that Paul used, koinonia, which is fellowship that comes from our salvation. Amen. And everything that, you know, all the benefits that we have because of our salvation, healing, the promises of God. And then we have fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And when I began to read this, I said, Lord Jesus, I mean, you know how we know stuff and then the light just goes on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the light just went on. Amen. I want to look at 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13. All right, and we're going to look at verse 14. And verse 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now, we know when you have communion, that's a fellowship. Amen. There's conversation. There's something going on. Amen. When you start talking about communion with the Holy Ghost. And as, you know, when I looked at all that and I studied into that, this right here, what Paul is talking about in this verse is the fact that by the Spirit of the Lord, God manifests himself among us. And so this comes, amen, as we walk in maturity and walk in relationship with God, that he manifests himself among us. And this is something that should be a regular occurrence with us as believers. Why is it that it's a special occasion when the Spirit of the Lord shows up?
Wow.
This should be a regular occurrence. If he's on the inside, we have fellowship, we have communion of the Holy Ghost. That is, that the Holy Spirit should manifest in our midst.
Amen.
This is God showing his approval. This is God showing himself in the midst of us. Amen. And even in us talking about the Holy Spirit showing up and manifesting himself, that brings us to the next part of the teaching, which talks about the anointing. And when will God anoint me? Okay? And now, before we proceed with, you know, all the stuff, you know, we need to understand what the anointing is, you know, because especially in our churches, we thank God for people of our persuasion. Hallelujah. But the anointing is not running and shouting.
Amen.
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 The anointing is not the tremors and rolling your eyes in the back of your head. That's not the anointing. The anointing is not goosebumps. The anointing is not the hair on your arm standing up.
What?
Amen. That. Amen. Okay. People think that, you know, oh my God, he was preaching so much, the hair on my arm stood up. That ain't the anointing. My God. Amen. The anointing is, the definition is simple. Amen. The anointing is, they are supernatural enablements that God has given us. The anointing is a sign of God's official appointment to the place he's called us to be. Simply put, now all of that definition right there makes the hair on your arm lay down. Amen. Because it's as simple as that. It's God's sign of approval and the fact that he's appointed us to the place where he has called us to be. Amen. It's a symbol of his power and his authority over you and on you. Hallelujah. And it's also that supernatural enablement. The ability to do what God has called us to do, we got to be anointed to do it. That means we got to have the capacity from God to do it. Because we can't do it in our flesh. Now, some people try.
Amen.
That's a whole nother story. Amen. But we need God's ability to do what he has called us to do. Because we already know this flesh will wear out. This flesh will just fall out. This flesh does not have the capability to follow in the things of God. Okay, so the anointing is divine authority. Amen. And while we're looking at this, let's get Isaiah 61. The anointing is divine authority to carry out an operation or a function, to accomplish a task or a goal. You cannot do what God has called you to do without the anointing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You can't do it without his enablement. Now, we hear people get up and preach all the time and do stuff, or they try to walk in an area that God didn't call them to do. That's a waste of time. Look, and I don't have time to waste. Amen?
Amen.
We don't have no time to waste. We don't want to be getting in somebody else's things that they're supposed to be doing. We got enough just trying to follow God with what he's called us to do.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because, and I love the fact that it says because, the Lord never, you know, releases his anointing upon us or his presence upon us just so that we can say, ooh, I felt the Spirit of God.
Hmm.
Amen. So the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me or given me the supernatural ability or has shown a sign of his official appointment upon my life and his power over me and on me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Amen. So the anointing, the ability that God has given us, the capacity, the supernatural enablement that the Lord has given us, is given to us for a purpose. So these folks just walk around talking about, ooh, he's anointed. Ooh, did you hear so-and-so? She's anointed. Ooh, I just, you know I'm God's anointed. What are you doing with that anointing? The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to do something. The Spirit of the Lord is on you because he's anointed you to do something. It's not just for you to get goosebumps. It's divine authority to carry out an operation or a function, to accomplish a task or a goal. Amen. The anointing is also power, the power of position. It's jurisdiction given to you by God. Amen. That is how come the Lord spoke those who spoke against Moses. Because they spoke against the whole, not just the man of God, but the man set in a position by God. They came against the jurisdiction or the authority of God. Amen. So when the scripture says, touch not my anointed, amen, that means don't touch those that are set in official positions on my behalf. Don't touch those, amen, who are walking under the power of God. They are there in position. You are there in your position because God has anointed you for that position. He has given you supernatural enablements to accomplish what he called you to do. Amen. He has given you the sign or the seal of his official appointment, his approval upon your life. And amen, it's all right for us to be ordained by our covering bishops and all the rest of that stuff or whatever, apostles. Let me tell you something. It don't make no sense to be ordained by man and not by God.
Amen.
Oh my.
We want God's approval. The anointing is a sign that God approves. So all of our anointing services that we call them, all of them aside. Okay, all our ordination services, all of that to the side. Does God approve? And this is what we're talking about. Amen. This is still an extension of who am I? Because of the simple fact that when you are doing what God has called you to do, you don't have to prove nothing, just do the work. Amen. Paul said, do the work of an evangelist. I often cut that short and just say, just do the work.
Amen.
That's all God is interested in. Do what I called you to do. You don't have time to be trying to prove yourself to people. You don't have time to try to prove that God really, really, really does love you and he really, really, really does use you. You don't have time for that.
Amen.
Let the anointing, the ability that God has placed on you, let your position, amen, the power of the position that God has given you, the jurisdiction in the spirit that God has given you, let it speak for itself.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let it speak for itself. Let the power of God that's resting over you and on you speak for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So now that we come to this little section here talking about a funny anointing. Amen. Yeah, but, you know, and in this section right here, it's just talking about how, you know, we go into church and, you know, you hear somebody, they preach a message and what they say was right and true, but something just wasn't right and you can't put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's because God's approval is missing. We want God's approval. I don't want to be sitting and listening to nobody with no strange anointing. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. We go into churches. Amen. We go into churches, you know, and go places and visit or whatever, or even just turn the TV on and watch some of, you know, the quacky stuff that's going on in the church world. And we take, you know, get an eyeful and an earful, and you see all these things. And you're saying, okay, Lord, am I the only one who can see that this person has been impeached?
Amen.
Am I the only person who can see that this is Saul? And now, you know, you've anointed David, but the people just love, they want Saul.
Mm.
And we always have to remember that Saul was the people's choice, not God's choice. God gave the people Saul because that's who they cried for. He allowed them to have Saul to appease them, but he chose David. And so we want to be chosen. We want to walk in that place, amen, that we, amen, are walking under the anointing, the jurisdiction, the power, and the authority that God has given us. I don't care what kind of positions they make up in the church. Okay? Because, you know, the church world is notorious for coming up with a position.
Amen.
Oh my. Yes. And hallelujah. Amen. And I often say, you know, and sometimes it just boils my skin. And I go somewhere and people say, God bless you, First Lady. I am not no First Lady. I have never read that in fivefold, nowhere in Ephesians, nowhere in the Bible. That is something man-made, and I cannot stand that title. And I often tell people, you know why they say First Lady? That means I'll be the First Lady that you blame when stuff go wrong.
Then you're the last
one.
They got first man. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Ew.
Have mercy, Jesus. Because it burns them up sometimes to be able to acknowledge who God says you are. That's fine. You got a problem with it. That's all right. Take it up with God. But I'm going to walk in my jurisdiction.
Amen.
And that's what you got to do. You got to walk where God has called you regardless. Amen. Amen. And even if your denomination has a hard time receiving apostles,
Amen.
Be who God called you to be. Amen. Apostle, you got to be apostle. That's what God say. You got to do what God say do.
I'm a first man.
I'm gonna stop. You're all right.
Maybe they mean Adam and Eve. First lady.
I don't know what they mean. I mean, Adam and Eve is in the scripture, but this stuff they coming up with. Don't you think? I mean, the Bible says that Jesus led captivity captive and gave gifts to men.
Amen.
Why are we trying to come up with another gift? He left the gifts we needed. But we got to always try to look for something else. Amen. Always looking for something else. Amen. Let's walk where God called us to be. Let's be what he called us to be. Amen. Let's abide in our own calling. Amen. That's why Paul had to say that. Because, you know, people just thought, well, hey, I feel like today, hey, I want to be evangelist today. Like you're picking it out of a hat. Mm. Just be what God called you to be. Do what he called you to do. Walk under the authority and the jurisdiction and the power of the position. And see, that's what you got to understand. You don't have to work to make anything happen. When you look at the fact that there's power of position, do you understand that just by virtue of where God called you to, amen, that particular place has power by itself, let alone what you grow into as you grow in the spirit? I mean, are you understanding what I'm saying? That place that he's called you to has power by itself. The king can be the king. Even if the king is a king as a child, there is, just by virtue of him being the king, he's powerful. His position alone is ruler. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the king don't have to conjure up nothing to try to show, amen, he's king. He don't got to change robes and change crowns to try to show somebody, hey, y'all, look at me, I'm the king. He is king by virtue of his position. So you are prophet, you are apostle, you are evangelist, pastor, teacher by virtue of what God has positioned you to do in the kingdom. And your very position has power. Your very position has authority and jurisdiction given you by God. Now, that right there, that's a lot to swallow.
Amen.
Because we feel like, you know, I got to, now, yes, there are this kind that go not out but by fasting and prayer, but I'm trying to help you understand that for what God, if he called you to a place, you don't have to fast for that power to show up. It is there by virtue of the position he's placed you in.
Yes.
Lord. Amen.
It is there. You have godly jurisdiction to open your mouth and prophesy and declare a thing by virtue of where you sit in the heavenlies. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Not where we are on earth, because, you know, man is always going to have a way to try to slight you. You know what I'm saying? But where you are in the spirit, by virtue of who you are in the spirit. And amen, the Bible says we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. So because we, you know, our place of authority is in the spirit, we got to walk in that power. We got to walk in that position. I ain't got to fight for a position in church. I've already been given jurisdiction and a position in the spirit. And that position has power all by itself.
Yes.
All by itself. And so this is how come the enemy wants to keep us in identity crisis, because if you're not sure, you can't work that position.
You can't
walk in the realm of your you know, the fullness of the jurisdiction and the power that God has given you, because you don't know who you are.
That's good right there. That's good.
Hallelujah. Amen. Jurisdiction means power, right, or authority. You can interpret and apply the law. That's what jurisdiction is. You have a right to read the word, interpret what God says in his holy law, and bring that authority to the people and say, this is what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I ain't talking about twisting nothing. We're talking about everything in godly order.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Your jurisdiction, amen, gives you authority over the territory. Amen. And it gives you the right to exercise authority over the territory and the area that God has put in the realm of your power. But the enemy don't want us to recognize this. He don't want us to realize this. He wants us to be tripping about who we are and who we thought we was and who people say we not and all the rest of that stuff. And then have us tripping, amen, and on medication because now we schizophrenic because the world of man is schizophrenic.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
So you got to ask yourself, who am I?
Amen.
You got to ask ask yourself that, and you better come back with the right answer. You got to come back with the right answer. And whenever you feel yourself getting ready to go through that schizophrenic test, come on, you got to begin to speak, I know who I am. I am seated with Jesus in heavenly places. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. So guess what? I know the realm of my authority. I know what jurisdiction God has given me. I know what territory he has given me rulership over.
Amen.
Amen, and that means that you got to go back and look at your Bible and see that the second Adam, who is Jesus, came to restore, amen, the rights that he had given us in the beginning when the first Adam messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And those rights include dominion. Those rights, amen, include, amen, amen, us walking in power with God and in relationship with God so that the Lord, whatever, amen, he commissions us to do here, we can do it, amen. And if it messes with the powers that be, oh well.
Amen.
Because we are on assignment. We are on divine assignment. Amen. We are ambassadors. The Bible calls us ambassadors. Amen. And if amen, a representative comes from another country, amen, his job is to do the bidding of his leader, his king, his, you know, his, whoever the prime minister or whatever we want to call him from their country. They have been released to do work, amen, and to do bidding, amen, in that country on behalf of their country and their king. We are here to do God's bidding. We are here on his behalf as his representatives to do his will here in the earth realm because he sent us here to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And you know what that means? That means we ain't dying without purpose. We're going to, amen, accomplish the will of God in the earth. And when we have finished, amen, we're going to do one of two things. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air or we're going to give up the ghost. But we're not doing it before we accomplish the will of God that he has made us ambassadors to do. Don't let nothing dictate to you what your position is or what jurisdiction God has given you. If it don't line up with the word, don't accept it.
Amen.
Know who you are in Jesus Christ. He has made us gifts in the body to do his bidding. And as gifts, amen, we have come to edify the body of Christ, to uplift, amen, to encourage, to, amen, to teach, to train, to admonish. And to those that are lost, we have come to bring them good news of a kingdom.
Yeah.
Amen, of a whole nother world that is not of this world. And yeah, they're going to say it's a strange message. But if you read what Jesus taught, that's all he talked about was another place, another kingdom. And that's why people thought he was a kook. What you talking about another place? What? Amen. And it's getting so, amen, where people have to, they have to be able to see that you are in fellowship with God and that you are in communion with the Holy Ghost, like in 2 Corinthians 13:14. They got to be able to see that there's a manifestation of the power of God in your life. And the only way that they're going to see it is you got to understand who you are in Jesus Christ and stop playing head games with the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because God has set his official sign of approval on us, amen, by giving us the Holy Ghost. He has allowed the Spirit of God to be upon us because, why? He has given us divine authority. He's allowed the Spirit of God to rest upon us because he's given us jurisdiction and power of position in the heavenly. And so we got to realize this power, we got to realize this jurisdiction, and we got to walk in it. Because it's all about accomplishing the will of God in the earth. It's not about, amen, you know, sitting up in church. It's about blazing the trails that God has commanded us to go, amen, into. It's about doing what he's called us to do. Whether or not You got a crowd following you. I watched a program, this man, and I was just so blessed. I was challenged and blessed as I watched. Amen. And it was about this man doing the gospel for Asia. And he showed a story about a gentleman there who God had spoken to him and told him to go to these villages and go witness to these people. And he kept taking these tracks. Folks was beating him up, slamming doors in his face, rejecting his the message he was bringing. Nobody would get saved. Amen. This went on for 2 years. Nobody getting saved. The man, he got discouraged, and he said, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to pack up my bags and leave. And he said he went and got into a fast, and he fasted for 30 days or more and began to get in the face of God. And said, Lord, why aren't these people getting saved? Why aren't these people opening up? Why aren't these people receiving the gospel? Amen. And even after he fasted and prayed, he didn't see any results immediately. Amen. And then the Lord began to speak to him and show him about reaching them children. He reached those children. And as he began to reach those children, amen, they began to go home and sing songs about Christ. And it began to reach their families. And now he's got churches all over the place, a humble man. And he's out there in Asia doing an apostolic work for the glory of God. But you know what? If he was suffering from identity crisis, he would have gave up when folks weren't getting saved. He would have gave up when nobody was coming in and receiving the gospel he was preaching. What does that say? That means that it doesn't matter if it seems like you're beating against the air. You got to know that that seed is going in the ground, and God is going to reward you for the work that you are doing. But you got to obey what he called you to do.
Amen.
And don't look at what everybody else is doing and then try to judge yourself and say, well, maybe God didn't call me to do this. There are going to be trying times. There are going to be times when you're going to feel like giving up, but you got to know who you are.
Amen.
And God had to go and tell, like even Elijah, when he was having a fit and running from Jezebel after he defeated those prophets of Baal, God had to tell him to get up out of that cave. He went, and this is what you got to understand, that every great victory is followed by, amen, times of turmoil, amen, and times, amen, of testing. That's the pattern that we see in Scripture, that after he did this great thing for God, he went, amen, and started suffering from schizophrenia. And he forgot who he was because of what Jezebel said.
Amen.
Amen. So this is why you got to always understand the power of the position that God has given you. You got to always understand the jurisdiction that has been given to you by God, not man. They can sit you down at your church, but guess what? They don't have anything to do with the power of the position that God has given you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And the rest, amen, of the teaching, amen, is talking to us about trying the Spirit. 1 John 4:1 said, try the Spirit to see if it's of God. Now, I ain't talking about try the person. You may not like the person speaking the message, but listen to the message and see what Spirit is behind the message. Try the Spirit to see whether they are of God. But we are always trying to try the person and try the message. Well, what they said sounded right. Amen. You got to know, amen, the Spirit that's in operation. Amen. And you got to, amen, as a son, especially in this hour of great deception and lying preachers, amen, we got to know, amen, whether people are walking in the Spirit and if God has removed them from their position. We got to be able to discern that. We got to be able to perceive whether God is with a man or a woman. And it's not just by their message. It is, amen, by their lifestyle. It is by the spirit that they operate out of. That will, we need to be able to discern what spirit they're in. And so we want to be able to look at those things and discern, is God here? Is God in the midst? Is God pleased with what we're doing? Is the Lord sanctioning this thing? Amen. Amen. And some of the ways that you can tell, amen, if a person has lost their position, amen, or if they, you know, if they lost a position, they'll start resorting to carnal things and things of the flesh. It won't be no more about the gospel. It'll be about stuff, carnal issues, things that please the flesh and puff up the flesh. Amen. Because once God has dethroned a man or a woman, amen, you can try to, you know, cook it up all you want to. Flop is flop. I don't care how you put it together. Amen.
Amen.
You put gravy on top of it, it's still slop.
Yeah.
Amen. So if a man or a woman, amen, has lost their position, they lost it for one of three reasons. Number one, they could have been influenced by their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other thing is they're operating in the area that God hasn't anointed them to. So we want to stay where God called us, amen, and not try to, amen, do the evangelist job if that's not what he called us to do. Amen, man. If he didn't call you to be the pastor, well, let the pastor pastor. Hallelujah.
Oh, that's right.
Amen.
Amen. All right, or there could be some type of sin or disobedience that is destroying the power, you know, destroying the authority of the power of position. You can have that position, but that position will lose its, you know what I'm saying, there's no anointing on that person's life anymore to function in that position. That position still has power, but that person has lost the anointing, God's approval. God's an enablement to do that work.
Amen.
Amen. And so the thing that is of issue is we know, and this is why we gotta be mindful and be in the spirit, because we'll see people operating in the things of God, and they could be wrong as three left feet.
Amen.
But for some reason, they're still just going on and on, and people are still following them. They still have, you know, large gatherings and all the rest of that stuff. They still keep pastoring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They still keep, you know, having folks follow them, but they don't realize that they, you know, God has removed his hand.
Samson.
They try to shake themselves like Samson did, and don't realize how long the anointing is gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Two things. Number one, ain't nothing we can do try to make God call us to a specific office. He's already ordained where he would have us to go. Number two, the other thing is that, you know what I'm saying, when God makes you a specific, he call you to a place, it is his will that you fulfill that place. He didn't call it to you to renege and say, okay, I don't want you to do that no more. But if you're not faithful to that place, you disqualify yourself.
Amen.
So this is what the scripture means. And then, you know, also it's the fact that, you know, looking at I believe it's Matthew. Let me look at Matthew real quick. Because I never could understand, you know, years ago I could never understand how is it that you know these folks are cricket preachers. They on TV selling olive oil soap, you know, crazy stuff. Green handkerchiefs. You know, and all kind of crazy stuff. And people write to them, folks with the Holy Ghost, write to them and bring that crazy stuff in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and round about the 21st verse. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So you're going to have a lot of folks, amen, and we have a lot of people who are hearers of the word and are not doers. But this here thing right here is what puzzled me. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? These rebellious people are still hearing God. You know why? Because there's power in that position.
Amen.
They can still know and perceive that God is speaking a thing to somebody, and they still can't obey him, because he said those that do what he says are the ones that are going to enter into heaven. This is how come, you know what I'm saying, there are crooked preachers who still have folks following them, and you still see some signs behind some of them that have a following. Because they're walking in disobedience. But that position that God has anointed them for in the beginning, that position itself has power. That position itself has jurisdiction. They don't have God's anointing, God's approval. There's no outward showing, or, you know what I'm saying, that God has set his approval upon them, but they have a position that was given to them in the spirit. We just read, amen, we just read in the verses that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So God doesn't give you a calling and take it back.
That's right.
So this is how come that you can have false preachers. This says that they prophesy. Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name have we cast out devils? How are you able to cast out a devil when you're not obeying God? Because there's power in that position that they're in. There's power in that jurisdiction, that place that they've been given territory over in the spirit. You can still walk in disobedience and still bring healing to somebody. That's a dangerous place to live. This is why we got to stay in prayer. This is why we got to stay, amen, in God. Because if we don't, amen, if we don't, then we're going to find ourselves, amen, doing the works, but don't have the God of the works.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. We'll find ourselves, amen, flowing in the things of God, so we think, but we don't have God. It is just, the line is so thin. There's such a thin line between obedience and disobedience.
Amen.
Because, you know, and Jesus made it plain. He said, whoever you yield your members to, that's who you become a servant of. Well, Paul said it, you know, but Jesus said it through him. Amen. Whoever you yield your members to, you become a servant of that thing that you have yielded to. That means that in a matter of 24 hours, you can switch gods. Because if I'm, in this instance, yielding myself to God, and then in the next 5 minutes, I cop an attitude and start walking in my flesh, I have just switched gods. And I have just allowed my flesh to become my God. And I've just switched from serving God, the God of the heaven, the God of all the earth, amen, and begin to serve myself. So this is why we have to be so mindful, amen, and understand who we are, understand the power, amen, of the position that God has placed us in, so that, amen, we don't mess ourselves up and anybody else for that matter.
Amen.
And this is why we got to have the gifts operating in the body. I'm going to be saying it over and over again, amen, as we're doing this course, amen. It is important that these gifts operate, because we, amen, we need to be able to be accountable to one another and to check one another, to be able to pour into each other's lives.
Amen.
We cannot do that, amen, if we're not operating where God has called us to operate. And in order to do that, we got to be in right relationship. We got to allow ourselves to go through these stages of our walk with God and get to the place of sonship, so that we can perceive and know what is God and what's not God. so that when we get to the edge of the cliff, we don't just jump off. Amen. Boundaries are good.
Amen.
Boundaries are healthy. Amen. Accountability is good. Accountability is healthy.
Yes, it is.
And so we got to allow, amen, we got to allow, amen, for growth, amen, of each one of us as gifts in the body of Christ. Because we don't want to be, amen, that person who has lost their influence.
Amen.
We don't want to be that person who God has already impeached and everybody didn't pick it up yet. That's a scary place.
Yes, it is.
That's a scary place to be Saul and don't know it.
Wow.
And so we want to make sure that we stay in the presence of God, that we stay in our relationship with him and walk in the boundaries, amen, that God has placed for us, amen, because we don't just want to operate out of the power of our position. We want our power of position to cooperate, amen, with, amen, the anointing and the Spirit of God that is on us and in us.
Yes.
We want, amen, God to be pleased with us. We want, amen, that sign of God's official appointment, amen, amen, and a symbol of his call upon all our life and his power on us. We want that to be seen as well as our power of position. I don't want nobody to say, hey, how you doing, Prophet Stubbs, and they really don't see profit on me.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. It's too much titles flying around, and folks don't possess what they're calling themselves.
Amen.
And it has to be our desire that we possess what we're calling ourselves. We got to possess it. We don't have no time, amen, for foolishness, amen, to getting caught up in all this other stuff, amen. Enough of the games with schizophrenia and all the rest of that, amen. We got to get our mind on track.
Yes.
Amen. That's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, amen, but made of himself no reputation, amen, but became, amen, obedient even unto death.
Lord.
You ain't got to make no reputation for yourself. Let your position and the anointing that is on you speak for you. Jesus never had to go and declare, hey, 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 did I tell you? I'm Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
He never had to do that. Oh, did I give you my business card? By the way, I'm Jesus, Son of God.
I always thought that.
He never did that. He let the anointing that was on his life and the power of the position that he had, which was Son of God, it spoke for him. And so this is what we got to learn how to do. Amen. And if we live out of our inner life and not out of our external life, I'm telling you, we're going to be really packing some power here. We're gonna change lives. We're gonna change, amen, amen, territories. We'll be able to have impact in the lives of people. What is the sense of having ministry and the ministry have no impact?
Amen.
I'm telling you what, if a meteor drops out of the sky tonight, guess what? It's gonna be an impact. You're gonna see the impact. You're gonna see a huge crater in the earth where that thing fell. Whose life is changed because of us. And it's only going to come through us recognizing who we are. So let's get over all of the mind games. Let's get over all that we have been dealing with. Let's come to terms with the fact that I am who God says I am. It's not just a mantra. It's not just, you know, a faith statement. Amen. This is, amen, the truth for me in my life. And in order for me to be and maintain who God says I am, I got to first understand who I am. And I'm not going to have no more head trips because somebody didn't receive the word that God gave me. I'm not going to be tripping, amen, and boo-hooing and telling God I'm not going to do this no more because, you know, people are giving me a hard time or I'm tired of struggling, I'm tired of going through. Amen. The Bible because as many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all.
Yeah.
Understanding who we are. Money in my pocket or in my bank does not dictate who I am. If I'm living out of a cardboard box, I'm still walking as a son of God. And I know that's a radical statement in our God wants you to be blessed society.
Amen.
Amen. You gotta know, amen, the definition of who you are, amen, is not in what's in your yard, you know, in your driveway. That doesn't define you. God, amen, your relationship with God defines who you are. You don't have to look, amen, in a psychology book for your definition. Your definition is in the scriptures. Amen. So we got to allow God. We got to allow God, amen, to work in us and to work through us. Amen. And allow, amen, just really, you know, and I don't want to say it, amen, in a way that is very casual. I don't mean it in that sense when I'm saying, you know, just kick back and relax in the position that God called you in. You know, I mean, I want to say kick back and relax in the position, but I mean it in the sense of stop trying to be and just be.
Amen.
Stop trying to be. Stop working so hard to be something and just let God be who he is in you.
Okay.
It's as simple as that. Ain't that deep right there?
Yes, it is.
That's revelation right there.
Amen.
You don't even gotta go to a conference for that. Just let God be God in you. And I'm telling you, you won't be able to help but bear fruit. We read in the scripture that about, I think it was John chapter, we read it in John 15, about abide in me and I in you. Because
right.
the you know, the vine, you can't, the branch can't bear fruit of itself.
Mm-mm.
Except you abide in the vine. And I'm going to tell you something, it's a law. What he's doing is he's sharing a law in that verse. In that whole chapter, chapter 15, he's sharing a law. All you got to do is get in him.
Mm.
And because you're in him, you can't help but bear fruit.
Amen.
It's like throwing fertilizer on the ground. You go out there and throw fertilizer and grass seed out there on your in your lawn, in your yard. You ain't got to go out there and keep trying to figure out, okay, I wonder if it's working.
No, you're going to see it.
You will. It's just, that's just the way it is. Get in God and let him get in you, and you're going to see him work through you.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. Amen. Now, the last thing we want to talk about is the practice of holiness. Amen. Down on the bottom of your page, it says the practice of holiness keeps or enhances the anointing, calling, and the gifts, but is not necessary. And that goes back to what we were saying in Romans 11:29. People operate out of their power of position and their jurisdiction, and then the anointing has lifted and they don't understand, you know, why. This is how come pastors can get up and preach without praying and the folks don't pick it up.
Amen.
They pull something off of sermonindex.net and get up and preach it to you and you don't even pick it up.
Yeah, that's true.
A witness.
That's something you've heard before.
Come on.
Amen.
And the thing is, this happens because we're not walking in sonship. We're not walking in perception.
Amen.
Amen. Those of you who missed the beginning part of the teaching, amen, you got to go back, amen, and listen to it, amen, once the recording posts, because you got to get this on perception. Amen. This, you know, get an understanding of inception, conception, and perception. You got to get that understanding because you understand where you are in God.
Amen.
And when you can't perceive, I'm trying to remember who said that. That was the woman at the well when she had an encounter with Jesus. She said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet."
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She made an observation. She became aware of what was going on around her. And that's what we got to be able to be. We got to be able to do that. We have to be able to be aware and you know, discern what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How are we the gifts in the body of Christ, and then we can't even tell folks what's going on? They consult in psychics because they don't know what's going on.
That's right.
Amen. So back to this practice of holiness. It's necessary for us that if we want to be, if we want to walk in the favor of God and walk in a true relationship, it's necessary. But for those who, you know, who just want to operate out of their power of position and don't want the hand of God upon them and don't want, you know, a sign of God's appointment and approval on them, you know, they're not going to practice holiness.
Amen.
But as we walk in holiness and as we, amen, practice holiness, we'll begin to see, amen, that out of this clean life that we live in, which we know, by the way, we cannot do by ourselves. We need the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. So as we live this clean life by the grace of God, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, as we live this life, amen, God begins, amen, because of us walking in faithfulness to him, he begins to reveal more of himself to us. And it's the same thing. He gives us these same principles. You know, we are God has given us, amen, we've been made in his image and his likeness. And so things that we do as parents, we only do that because we got that from God. So he said, you know how to give your, you know, as a father, you give your children good gifts. He said, I'll give my spirit. The father will give his spirit to you because, just like you give good things to your children. So when we see our children walking in faithfulness and doing things right, we want to be a blessing to them. We want to do nice things for them. We want to show our approval of them. God is the same way with us. When we're walking in holiness and walking in obedience, God wants to reward us for living holy. He wants to show his approval of us to the world. Amen. We see a pattern of that in Scripture. Jesus, amen, after he was baptized, amen, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came down upon him, amen, and that showed God's approval of him. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm what? Well pleased. So we got to begin to see the patterns that God has set for us in Scripture. It wasn't just for, you know, that time that we are reading it, amen, that we're reading it in. It's for us as well, so that we don't lose heart, so that we don't faint, so that we don't give up. Amen?
Amen.
So let us begin to walk in perception to be able to see and discern what is going on with people when we come into, amen, into the presence of other people. Amen. The other thing I wanted to do before we end the call is I want to look at the diagram on the spiritual realm that you have in your manuals. It is in Prophetic Development 1 at the last section of Prophetic Development, and Understanding the Realm of the Spirit. After you see that, you'll see the diagram for the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. And you see on one side is the kingdom of God. On the other is the kingdom of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see with the little stick people there, love that drawing, you see the minds of that person. And you see that belly, amen, that belly is the place where God dwells,
mm-hmm.
amen. All right, and then you see that little gap there where it says familiar spirit, and underneath there it says natural realm, ruling the senses. Then you have issues, money, love, marriage, Okay? And so you see the Christian and then you see the unsaved. And what this diagram is showing you is how that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan both influence believers. You know, the kingdom of God is influencing the believer and the kingdom of Satan is influencing unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it is influencing in their mind and it is coming out of their, you know, their belly. Coming out of our bellies, whatever is influencing us is flowing up out of us.
Amen.
All right. Here in the center where it's talking about the familiar spirit, when you have somebody that is operating in a familiar spirit, when we look there, you see the natural realm. You see all the, you know, these things that are ruling and controlling our senses,
mm-hmm.
all these things, our issues, you know,
Hello.
You know, the things that we are affected by. Amen. And there's a whole lot of information right here in the natural realm. And this is where psychics rule from. Amen. This is where false prophets rule from. It's out of that familiar spirit because it's full of information. Okay? Information that pertains to the natural realm. And I want to tell you something. I learned something. I was watching, and I never knew this, but I was watching something on Discovery Channel
mm-hmm.
and listening to these people talking, and I think they were talking about another psychic or whatever. I think they were talking about, and it's in the program of, they're talking about Nostradamus or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew that as it relates to spiritual things with, you know, Satanists and all of these, you know, people who operate in the kingdom of Satan,
mm-hmm.
that to them, a psychic is a low-level seer.
Mm-hmm.
A psychic is not even somebody who's seeing in the depths of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew that they're operating out of the familiar spirit, which is full of all the information that pertains to the natural realm, which really just backed up some of the things that I was studying, but I didn't really put two and two together. You know how sometimes take you a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And so this is what they were saying, that a psychic is a low-level seer because they're only dealing with what's on the surface. Okay, so which tells us that even as believers, and we have the Spirit of God, amen, dwelling on the inside of us, we should not just be dealing with surface issues. The Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Go on and read it in Hebrews, amen,
mm-hmm.
that this Word gets down into the joints, down into the marrow, and it separates, it knows that dividing line between soul and spirit. So because the Word can do that, and the Bible says that Jesus said that my words are spirit and they are life. So the Word of God is spiritual. And so we have to know that, amen, we don't want to just operate in the natural realm. We got to get in the deep. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is we got to get in God. Because we don't want to operate out of the familiar spirit. We don't want to just minister something to someone, amen, in the senses realm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Amen.
Amen?
In the natural realm. Amen. They can go to the psychics to do that. So we as believers should have, amen, a depth in the spirit that can see down into the life of others.
Amen.
In such a way that, you know, they have to know, oh, my goodness, that had to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be.
Now, that's a challenge for us. You know why? Because we're comfortable even with that natural realm. So we have to, you know, and remember we said that all we got to do is get in God. He said, abide in me
mm-hmm.
and I in you, and you're going to bear fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to abide in the vine, and if we abide in the vine, we can't help but produce what God produces. We can't help but, you know, and I don't know anybody who, you know, I do know somebody. Don't let me, I'm sorry, let me fix that. Let me fix that. I do know folks who feel like, you know, they can just conjure up the Holy Ghost, you know, and just say, you know, But they do it in these things, and I had to explain to some people. They asked me, you know, well, you teaching people to prophesy? I can't teach you to prophesy. I can teach you to live holy and to line up with spiritual principles, amen, and godly principles, and out of you living holy and walking in relationship with God, the words of God will begin to come. Because when we begin to start conjuring up stuff like that, like they're doing in some of these, what they call schools of prophets, that's not God. That is operating in the familiar spirit because it's full of information.
Amen.
Boy, that's scary.
Mm-hmm. That is very scary. You know, and some of what they're teaching is on the level and it's good, you know, and that's what we're going back to that. They're operating out of the power of position.
Mm-hmm.
God has given them jurisdiction to teach a thing, but they jumped off the cliff when they did not abide in that thing that God has called them into. You don't tell them, call me and I'll give you a prophecy. You don't,
Oh, Jesus.
You're right.
Because if the Lord don't speak, guess what? I don't have no prophecy for you.
That's right.
Amen.
I just got an email, and I used to get these emails all the time. People just whizzing past the website. Oh, you know, do you got a word for me? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know you. No, I don't have a word for you.
I get a lot of that, too.
And so what you got to do is you got to deal with that, because what happens is people want you to come out of the realm of the jurisdiction that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't let anybody put you in a place that God didn't tell you to be. We get in trouble with God like that. This ain't Miss Cleo's hotline.
No.
Amen.
This is not Bernard Jordan's hotline.
Oh, no.
Amen.
No,
amen.
You didn't go there.
But you all right.
And I hope somebody downloaded and get it on over there to him.
Did it like it
is. He can prophesy right on. We just read in Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we prophesy in your name?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Didn't we cast out devils?
But he wants money for his.
That's what they do. It's modern day soothsaying.
What about prophetess? Have you ever been approached? Well, you should have a word in season and out of season, and have they ever ran that
yes.
on you?
People, they say all the time, and you know what I tell them? I don't know where you have been or who you've spoken to. I'm not that kind of prophet.
Mm-hmm.
If God don't speak to me, I'm not speaking.
That's right.
The Bible says clearly, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where it's going. You don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going. And the scripture says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You can't just say, hey, do this. You don't know when the Spirit is going to show up.
Right. That needed to be recorded.
Right.
It's recorded.
That's
it's
right.
recorded.
I know, but I asked that question so it would be recorded.
Amen.
I got you back. I got you back.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I mean, we got to do this because, you know, this is the spirit of the age that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
That people want, give me a word. I got a word for you. It's all throughout them 66 books
mm-hmm.
that we call our Bible.
Yes.
And so we have to walk in integrity. We have
That's
to walk
right.
in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know, and even if you go and you read Daniel, they called on Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar called on Daniel to come and decipher his dream. The Bible says that Daniel came into the presence of the king.
Mm-hmm.
And when the king told him what he needed, the Bible says Daniel went back and sought the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. He went back and sought the Lord. And after he sought the Lord, God gave him an answer.
Yes, he did.
Who do these people think they are? That you're going to tell God when he's going to show up. You
Amen.
Don't got no power with God like that.
Mm-mm.
Amen.
That is presumptuous. For us to think that we can just tell God, you're going to be here at XYZ time. I'm even mindful of how I'm going to say, you know, come out to service on X, you know, such and such and such day, because, you know, I know the Lord is going to be there. No, I'm praying that the Lord meet us here, because I don't want to show up and God don't show up.
Amen.
That's for real.
Come on now, because we just too bold with our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I guarantee that the Lord's going to meet you there. Really? Wow.
At high noon.
At high noon.
You didn't hear it.
That's presumptuous. That is arrogant and proud to think that you're going to summon God. And when you tell him, he's going to show up. I beg to differ.
Definitely.
Whenever God say he going to show up, that's when he going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. And we humbly pray that he meet us when we gather.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes, we are his people. Amen. And yes, amen, you know, he's given us power and authority to speak, you know, mm-hmm. over things. But he didn't give us power to speak over him.
No, he did not.
And tell him what to do. And the only place I read that in scripture, now y'all go back and study your Bibles and help me out. But the only thing I heard him say about commanding him was about the works of his hands. He said, concerning
That's
the works
right.
of my hands, command ye me. He didn't say, command me or be about me.
Mm-mm.
So we have to be mindful that we don't go into the presence of God thinking that we are God. Amen.
Mm-mm.
We are his
Mm-mm.
servants. We are following his plan. We are doing what he has called us to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Amen. I pray that, you know, that you've been encouraged. Amen. And you know, that you won't face any struggles. I'm not going to say that you're not going to, but I pray that you don't have to face too many struggles on, you know, dealing with who you are in God. I pray that you stand strong and you know, and just trust God for who he, you know, who he is, and for all that he has, you know, promised you that he's going to do in your life, because he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
Yes,
and we can rely on that. Amen. So we want to put the devil, amen, out of our lives as it pertains to that. We don't want to be struggling in our mind about, okay, God, did you really call me to do this? Do you really want me to do that? You know, we got to know that we have been called, know that we have the ability to operate out of the power of the position that he has called us to, and we want to be able to have his sign of approval upon us, and we want to walk in maturity, amen, and practice holiness, amen?
Yes,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or any comments or anything that they wanted to add?
Good lesson. Good lesson.
Very good.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I thank God for us being here together. Amen. Again, I wanted to just remind you all again about our schedule. Amen. And if you need a copy of this schedule, it is on the group files section. Amen. I did post it, but it's also in the file section. You can get the complete class schedule. We have no class on next week on the 22nd because it is Thanksgiving. We will return for class on the 29th. Amen.
Right.
And then we have two Thursdays in December, the 6th and the 13th, and then we break for the holidays, and we will return on the 3rd of January, Lord willing, 2008, to resume our second 8 weeks of class. Amen. I pray that that you're learning something, that you're being encouraged.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That you're being challenged. Amen. And, you know, because I just know that God is equipping our people, amen, and he's given us, amen, what he wants us to have so that we can do what he's called us to do, because I'm just tired of all this quacky stuff out here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Definitely.
And, amen, the fact that you are here tells me you feel the same way.
Yeah,
so,
amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Anybody else have anything?
Pastor Bishop, I mean,
You know what, Apostle? I love you, Apostle. God bless you, sir.
We are going to get our grades on our homework. Do we get grades?
Yes, I'm going to give everybody's grades. I actually have everyone's work in a folder.
Mm-hmm.
When you send me your work, I print it out and I read it. and I have it with, you know, your stuff in a folder. And what I was going to do was send everybody their stuff back all at once.
Okay.
Only because it would just, you know, it's just very tedious for me to, I didn't want to send like one letter at a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, one assignment at a time. So I'm going to, you know, send them to you. And like I said, Apostle, I'm going to make sure that I send you confirmation emails when you post your work so that, you'll know that I got it. If anybody else needs me to do so, I don't have a problem doing that. I can definitely, send you an email letting you know that I did receive your work. I know this week I was missing quite a few assignments this week. I don't know what happened this week. I did, I had a chance to see my email, but I didn't have a chance to read very much this week because my schedule was pretty hectic this week. So I didn't really see too many, but I did look to see. I didn't see too many assignments. I saw quite a few were missing, and I only had received one letter about the fact that there was, you know, this person was not going to have their assignment. So, you know, if you're missing an assignment,
I hope you received mine.
Okay, who's this?
Reverend Warren.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
amen.
Good.
I did.
I was hoping so.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We did. I did receive yours,
okay.
And like I told Apostle, I didn't get to read them just yet because this week was really pretty busy. But I'm going to take care of that over the weekend, and sit down and, you know, read everybody's assignments and everything. And for the most part, you know, from what I've been reading, I feel like I'm getting to know everybody based on what you write.
Right.
And I've been blessed by a lot of the things that you all have been writing in your assignments. And it's given me a glimpse of, you know, who you are as a person, naturally and spiritually. And I've been blessed by what I've been reading, you know, reading
good.
Of the things you guys been writing. So that's a blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's great.
That's a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Did anybody else have anything?
Yes. Yes, I do. I made the statement on my lesson, and just in my mind concerning familiar spirit, would it be safe?
I'm sorry. I'm only laughing because that, I think you missed that part when I made that statement. What happened was I had everybody answered the question, but nobody sent me an email to say, you know what, we didn't cover that. Why did you ask us that question?
and we really didn't, that I remember.
Not until tonight.
I had to go back to the spiritual realm thing. What's the answer?
The answer is the familiar spirit is full of information.
Okay. Full of information.
Okay, mine's wrong.
It's full of information. That was the answer. And I did. I apologized earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So please forgive me. I'm sorry. And I do see that I just pulled up your assignment to Missionary Shellman, and I see that, you know, you looked at the diagram too. I can tell by your answer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine.
But I answered. But familiar spirit, you know, dealing with the natural realm, ruling the senses. As I stipulate, what comes to my mind, what the scripture says, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Yes.
I see these things ruling our senses. We don't, you know, submit to God.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And me, that's how often me, spirit could dominate me in my life.
Wow.
If I don't, that's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank God for it. I thank God for this because it's helping me. I'm a deep
thinker
anyway. I thank God for it.
praise God. Amen. Amen. I praise God as well. Amen. So I'll try to make it a habit to not post questions for which I have not given you the answers already. Yes, ma'am.
I know this is, you know, in God, but this is a class.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
if
ma'am.
If I can remember correctly, when I went to school in the class, the teacher, whatever they did was amen. Sometimes they would get stuff in the middle of the book. If
yeah,
you got a book
true.
And they tell you, you know, to study, mm-hmm. you just got to study. So, I mean, it was way back in the book, so, you know.
No, it wasn't way back in the book, but I still got it wrong.
Amen. I'm trying to stay on you know, on that page,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the pages that we've already read, you know, and with that answer, you know, that was given, I'll give you guys credit for that, because that was, you know, due to my own personal error. But I'm still interested in, you know, what you had to say about it. Nevertheless, you know, since the question was there and all, you know, but I had edited out some of the other questions out of there because I knew that we had not covered those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I had got it all. But, yeah, that was an error. Amen. Pray the Lord. Amen. Amen. Y'all pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. So. But thank God for everybody being on the line tonight and just continuing with your studies and you know, bring all your questions, you know, as usual, and whatever your comments are, things that you want to share about what you're reading, you know, or whatever, because I'm interested.
Okay.
I'm very interested in what you have to say, you know. So, you know, feedback is a wonderful thing. Hallelujah.
You know, I think one of the things that sticks out to me so much is the spiritual realm and the familiar spirits and how important it is to live a holy life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
although that gift is already there, the fact
mm-hmm.
of the matter is if we don't break past that point of the natural realm where all that information is, we're just simply pulling information out.
That's
from
right.
the natural realm.
Right.
That's
so it's so important.
Sense.
I mean, how many times, if we look back, how many times have we prophesied from the natural?
From the natural realm.
Yes.
And not allowing God to do it just because we had the gift. Thank God he
mm-hmm.
gives us grace and then just, you know, kill
thank
us.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
But what stands out to me from this lesson is how important it is to live a godly life, how important it is
yes.
to live holy.
That's right.
Yes.
And separate it, because then it's there where we can clearly hear the voice of God.
That's right.
Definitely.
That's right.
That is so important, and this is just almost, I'm not scared, but it's enough to say, okay, you got to keep this at the front of your mind.
That's right.
I mean, for a prophet, this needs to be at the front of your mind.
That's right.
So you can discern. So you can discern where you're pulling that information from.
That's right.
My Jesus, that's right. That's right.
Because we all on this phone we're gifted.
That's right.
Uh huh.
So it ain't nothing for us to go to that natural realm. It's a different ball game.
You're right.
To tap into the heavenlies.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's a whole
right.
different authority.
We have to stay and be in
mm-hmm.
tune with the spirit.
That's right.
You know,
and that's going to happen.
You know,
that's going to happen from us being in fellowship. And we read that.
Mm-hmm.
We read that verse in 2 Corinthians about that communion of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that communion is manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
That communion of the Holy Spirit is God manifesting himself
right.
in the midst of us. And so that only flows out of our life of, you know, being in relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with us spending you know, spending time with him. You don't have to work nothing. You ain't got to get, you know, we talked about that, trying to get your mojo going. You ain't got to do none of that, you know, and try to work up anything. You just got to be in the vine. Abide in that vine.
Right,
Jesus
right.
is the vine. Abide in him. And because we are abiding in him, that, you know, those prophetic words are an outflow of mm-hmm. our relationship with him and spending time with him. You see when you're not even trying to see.
That's right.
Yes, that's it.
Those words come, you're not even trying to get a word.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just, because that is just an outflow of being with God. It's what he wants to do anyway, because he wants to minister to his people.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. Somebody was going to say something. Were you going to say something, Missionary Shelman?
Yes, I just had a thought when you were talking about, you know, the ram, the familiar spirit, you know, the information. I was just thinking about something I picked up, I heard a while back about how the devil don't know certain things unless, you know, you speak them, because he can't read your mind. He gathers information from just me talking. He gathers information from our, what we say, and looks on our faces, and, you know, he reads our gestures and stuff.
Right.
And he gathers information from that. That's what, you know, was coming to my mind concerning that familiar spirit.
Well, you know what? I just need to speak to that thing about him not being able to read our minds. And I would have to say that is a myth. I would have to say that is a myth. That's an untruth, because you have psychics who operate in that mind reading.
Right.
And your mind, because your mind, and we talked about this earlier in our studies, about our mind is the plane by which we travel into the realm of the spirit. So, you know what I'm saying? You have people who practice transcendental meditation and can levitate and all of that stuff. And you got people who can sit in your, they call it ESP. Extrasensory perception, where they can read your mind and stuff like that. That they're operating out of the familiar spirit.
Right.
They're operating out of the familiar spirit. So for us to say, I really believe it, and the proof is the fact that they're doing it, you know. That for us to say that the devil can't read our minds, that's an error. That's an error. We have underestimated our enemy, because, yes, he can.
That's somewhat of how I answered that familiar spirit question in that area.
That's new to me. I always thought that the devil could read your mind. That's new to me.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that's new to me. That I always thought that the devil could read your mind.
Right. I agree with that, that he can.
Mm-hmm.
He can. I thought that she was saying that he couldn't.
No, I mean that he couldn't read. That's what I meant. That he could not read.
Oh, okay.
I always thought
yes,
that
he can.
Wow.
He can.
Oh,
yes,
Lord.
He can. Yes, he can. And that, and you know that, because you have people. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I'm here to learn, and that's something I never really gave a lot of thought to, but listening at you and the things I know from the Bible and the things that I know are happening around me, you know, I can kind of see that, you know, it was just an erroneous thing that. And that's one thing, you know, with me. When I know I'm in the fight, like I got to fight the good fight of faith, but my fighting is so much better when I have my back straight.
And you're right. That's with all of us. You're right. With all of us, every one of us, you know. And I think that's just been not on purpose, but that's just been something that, you know, we have said in the churches because it sounds good, you know. Hey, the devil can't read your mind. But wait a minute now. He got people that he uses to do that all the time.
That's right.
Psychics and all the rest of
but
that
you just,
stuff.
But you just said something, Prophetess. You said he uses the people, so maybe he needs a person in order to do that? I was figuring he would use a familiar spirit to do it.
Well, I would
such
say
as
that,
a vessel. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, he's got to have a vessel, but at the same time, we have to remember that, you know, he can, if he's given them the ability to do it, then
mm-hmm.
he can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so if he's given them the ability, then he can definitely do that himself. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is why, you know, we need to, you know, we just need to have ourselves girded up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We need to have ourselves girded up, and we got to walk in the spirit and keep our mind right.
That's
and
right.
And how is it, you know, and then when you go back and you think, you know, how is it that when you're in a room by yourself, you know, and you can, you know, be going through something, these thoughts sometimes enter into your mind, where are they coming from?
That's yeah, right. Yeah, that's yeah, right. I can definitely attest to that.
Me too. Me too.
You know, how is it that you can fight with your thoughts? You know what I'm saying? If your mind has been renewed,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Or even ask yourself, where did that come from?
There you go.
Even though you already know where it came from, but when it happens, you say, oh, my God, where did that come from?
That's right. That's right. That's
right.
So,
right
you know,
that. I was just saying, you know, when those things I was just agreeing with everybody, you know, why I'm thinking that like that, or where did that come? Why am I thinking like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's no better than that. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying.
My Jesus. So, you know, we're working on some things here. You know, God is you know, opening up things for us, you know, and allowing us to know our enemy and know, you know what I'm saying, what
mm-hmm.
things he can use against us, because we need, you know, we need to strengthen our arsenal against him.
That's right.
Amen.
We definitely need to do that. Amen. We definitely need to do that. So, amen. Did anybody else have anything else that they wanted to add? We have officially gone over the 2-hour mark.
Oh, my.
That's all right, I ain't mad, you know, but I just try to be conscious of you all's time. I know that most of us on this line are probably night owls anyway, but nevertheless, amen, amen. Class has been a blessing on tonight, and I thank God for the things that we have shared tonight. Amen. So anybody else have anything else? Hallelujah. Amen. If not, then amen. We're going to ask, amen. Reverend Warren, will you close us out in prayer?
Sure.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come right now in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us
thank
the
you,
opportunity, Lord, to learn more about you, Lord,
yes.
and about
thank
the
you,
gifts, Lord, that you have placed within us, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, that we might do those things, Lord, that you have called for us to do, Lord. And, Lord, that we will be